Oh shit. Okay. I don't actually realize I was live then, guys. So, well, you know what? I'm gonna throw an intro in like anyway, because I would cut this off afterwards. So let's throw an intro in and pretend this never happened, right? You never saw none of this, right? You never saw any of this. It's got go. It's right, never happened. Okay, right, good.
Welcome to the desert.
And amazingly, I still played the wrong intro. Welcome back. I am Tom Fury, and this is Zero News. There's this story, okay? It's right in our title of our podcast. So Churchill is worse than the Nazis. Some of you may have seen it, some of you may not have. Someone's just mentioned it to me. Actually, Ginger just mentioned this to me, and yeah, and I haven't actually read through it from beginning to end yet. I thought it'd be more fun that way, because I'll just put it this way: I'm pretty confident. And by the way, I'm also not here to try and give anybody a history lesson or a false history lesson. I'm not qualified to for a start, so it's just that I think that probably a 5-year-old child could work this one out. So let's see. So let's bring this guy's stuff up one moment. I can okay, yeah, let me just bring his stuff up. Where is it? Bring it in. Hopefully I can read it with you. If I can see it on that screen there. Okay, so just for the people listening, it says this is a guy who's what I mean, they're showing him speaking at Oxford, is it Oxford or Cambridge University? And whether that's where this comes from, I don't know. Oh, and it's disappeared. Hang on a second. Oh, why has that disappeared? That's never happened before. There we go. It says Churchill worse than Nazis, says black studies professor. And oh, hang on, I need to go to the screen to do it. I remember now doing it now. A tax-funded academic has described Sir Winston Churchill as a white supremacist and repeatedly compared him to Adolf Hitler. Well, and this is the thing about keep doing these Adolf Hitler comparisons, is like they mean nothing anymore. And when we really need them, they'll be dead. I mean, they pretty much are already. Professor, I think, was that. Is that I don't know how to pronounce that. Gehind, is it? Gehindi? Andrews, a lecturer in black studies at Birmingham University, sorry, Birmingham City University, branded the British Empire and Churchill far worse than the Nazis. Debate Churchill College, Cambridge. Professor Andrews believes that Britain's prosperity is largely produced of the economic system that extracts wealth by exploiting Africa and the underdeveloped world. However, he is accepted as an employee of the public university that his primary income does come from the state, i.e., he is a hypocrite. The Conservative MP Northwest, Leicestershire, Andrew Bridgeton said, asked, "Well, if he holds those views, why is he living off the public purse?" Mr. Bridgeton also added, "I'm absolutely happy for people to have a debate, and people can hold whatever views they want. If they want to read history, hope they will consult. Sorry, it's the way they've written it. Hope they will consult those history books and come to their own decision that Churchill was fundamental to the defeat of the Nazis." Professor Andrews stated that he believes that World War II would have ended the same way, with or without the leadership of Churchill. He also said of Churchill, "It's almost like he's been beatified. He's saintly. It's a saintly figure who's beyond reproach." But Churchill wasn't even that popular at the time. He was never elected, and after the war effort, where he supposedly single-handedly led the war against the Nazis, he lost the election. He also discredited the former Prime Minister's contribution to the country, saying, "Was it Churchill out there fighting the war? I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I'm pretty sure he was at home." And you can, well, actually, that is the sort of end of it. You can see a few of the things on the screen there. So, I mean, the first thing you've got to do with a piece like this is take it for what it's worth. Look at the website that it's on. It's always, if you're going to look into something like this, always look at the websites that you find these things, because it really does reveal a lot about the story that you're about to tell. And if I come back to the page there, I don't know if you can see it or not, but this is what many of us on the right refer to as a trash tier website, meaning it's unknown. It's probably hosted for 99p. You can tell that by the fact that they haven't even got even an inbuilt site designer that's of any cop. Do you know what I mean? It these things and the links that they're on, they all kind of reveal the story of how well sourced these kind of things are, and whether someone's taken their own tape. It often tells you a lot about the caliber of story you're about to tell. With that said, so I mean, whether it's BLM, just the culture of Marxists in general, or whatever. I mean, they're always trying to rewrite history. So the first thing that we should do is that we should say this, is we should say that when you go far enough left, you reach a totalitarian place. When you go far enough right, you go around this circle, which takes you to the same totalitarian, so sorry, totalitarian place. And let me just bring up the stream out a second. So with that said, what I'm trying to say is you're meeting in the middle. You're at that point. And give me, for instance, the white supremacists and the black supremacists have more in common, obviously through their mutual wish for segregation, for instance, which means they've got more reason to work together than any other part of those groups with. So it's worth actually having a look at these claims, even though it's a kind of, you could look at this as being a racial thing, but it's actually worth looking at these claims anyway, because these are the claims that also the so-called patriots make as well, and they, the ones that want Winston Churchill's statue taken down. So, okay, if they want, again, I'm not a historian, but if they want a balanced and honest approach, how about we try and do this reasonably quickly, and I just say some things that I believe to be true. You correct me if I'm wrong, but it is the way it roughly goes, right? Chamberlain, whether you're one of the people in history that regards him as the guy that tried to appease and we all paid for it, or whether you look at him as a guy that just tried to deal in good faith because it didn't want another world war, is up to you. But the fact that it was that while he was in power, they were demilitarizing. And that demilitarization meant that by the time that we declared war, we were actually in no position to fight one. We were pretty much broke from the other war and just having a massive empire. People don't realize that if a massive empire goes into recession, it's no different on the host country, whoever the host country of that empire. I mean, they are going to suffer. And so the problem was that we'd had a government or had a government that was into disarmament. So whilst tensions were building in Europe, we were disarming. So totally unprepared for a war. And so you could argue that when we did declare war, some people say it was too late. I would say that it was too early, simply because we weren't ready to fight a war, and it's probably why it started so badly for us. By 1942, we were broke, and that's why we needed the Americans' help, which they were reluctant to help us because we hadn't paid the World War I debt. So these things are all unavoidably true, and it's kind of things we don't like to talk about. We don't like to talk about the fact that no, Churchill wasn't at home. Churchill was often in a bunker with a bottle of scotch. This is also true and pretty much well known, and why people use these as like slanders and slants. I mean, when you think that you're responsible for a country and you don't know if it's going to exist tomorrow, I think that especially when you consider its day, I think it's understandable. But so yeah, so Churchill was probably a functional alcoholic, probably. These things are also true. Now let's go back further. Churchill was the guy behind Gallipoli, which was one of our worst, most massacres, defeats that we've ever suffered. We have never recovered our relationship with the Anzacs as a result of that, because they never believed that the British Empire could lose against anyone, let alone be slaughtered in the way that they were. And again, there's various opinions on the way that you view this, so I'll leave it over to you to make up your own. But here's the side that all of these people don't want to talk about. And it's the fact that they say Churchill was basically he was replaceable. That's not true, and it's plainly not true. Churchill was a man. If you look at his career, he's a man that often failed the first time round. Gallipoli being a terrible example of that, but he often failed the first time round. But he often did things. If he failed at something, he would do it again. And this is something I used to fail to understand about him. At first, I used to think it was a weakness that he'd had these failures, but actually, he was one of the few people that would really fail and then go, "No, I'm gonna get this right," and he would go back, and he would get it right, and he would achieve a level of excellence just by keep going back, and not accepting the result of the first time, that perhaps he'd ever tried something. And he did very well as a politician, as a in the war efforts and everything else because of these traits. His, although these days we have a bit rose-tinted glasses, especially in terms of the speeches, because a lot of those speeches didn't go out in the way that we imagined. Some of them weren't recorded until after the war. A lot of them were actually newspaper pressings and stuff like this. Regardless, back in that age, they meant a lot to the people. Churchill was a warmonger, and he's often been criticized as being a warmonger. And that person makes a claim in that article that Churchill, let's bring it back up, that Churchill wasn't very popular at the time. Well, you name me in the last 100 years, how many prime ministers have been popular for more than a year? And I bet you can't think of very many. Right, so yeah, he was a politician. Of course, he wasn't very popular, but as a symbol of hope against Nazis and everything else, I think he was more than simple. Which is why, by the way. So, as I said, he was a warmonger. But what did you need? What did you need against someone like Hitler? You needed a warmonger. Peacemakers were not going to do it. The guy didn't want peace. Type guy wanted domination. This is the socialism that you find on the left and the right, and he wanted domination, he wanted socialism everywhere. So you needed a warmonger. You needed someone that was loving this and gonna fight day and night to get a win over this guy. That's exactly who you need in charge. And we could have been stuck with someone like Chamberlain, who would have been constantly suing for peace through the whole thing, wasting time and getting more people killed. Churchill was the perfect man at the perfect time for what was needed. And that in itself is exact reason as or probably is that reason as to why he got sort of booted out at the end of his tenure, because there was no more war, and he was still very much speaking as like there was, and people had had enough of war. And in terms of the fact that they didn't need somebody like Churchill anymore, they didn't need no more Churchill. But here's the thing that they don't mention in there. They talk about that as though Churchill was thrown on the scrap heap. What they neglect to mention is Churchill was re-elected a few years later as Prime Minister again. So, we talk about rewriting history. His career didn't trail off from that point. He actually was prime minister again and had a pretty damn good career. So he was just fine. So many of these things that are being said, just not historically sort of accurate. Let me just have a quick look, because I didn't want to leave anything out, and as far as the, he's white supremacist because colonies colonies, what's the word, benefited from other countries like Africa. By the way, often in which in most of the cases, Africa was selling to us quite happily. But so that makes him white supremacist. When I mean, we okay, let's just look at the slavery issue, for instance. I mean, as I said in the podcast of the last few days, people often talk about the fact that Britain was the first to end slavery, and they say that it was 8 years before. What I didn't realize until looking recently was actually slavery was abolished in Britain. I think it was at 1068 by William the Conqueror, for reasons unknown. And then it was kind of re-abolished, if you like, around the 1600s, and there was a massive war going on by the British, which isn't talked about very much now. Wonder why? There was a massive war fought by the British on the world. We fought a war against not the Americans. We fought a war against the world, in which this is all documented, in which we went out on a mission to end slavery. And that's how, that's how terrible country and terrible an empire we were. We were an empire in an age of empires, and a lot of the other empires don't get mentioned in the same hostile breath that we do. But the fact that it was, Gandhi proved we were the empire with a conscience. And we actually fought these things and were proud to go out and fight the anti-slavery things, the anti-slavery issues. And we were proud to be shedding blood for the, for a cause like that. Back at a time when everybody thought the system of government could never work without slavery. It'd never been done before. So it kind of doubles the achievement. And so yeah, so this idea, I mean, Churchill absolutely hated socialism. He saw the danger in it. And like I say, he had his faults. He made some big mistakes. But to say that you could replace him from his oratory skills through to his, as I said, his just, I know warmonger is considered to be a negative word, but his just pro-war attitude, I suppose, is one way of putting it. I'm not saying he was all for war. I'm just saying he was the right man to be fighting one. And somebody's got to be leader. So you can sit and say, well, he wasn't the one fighting. Well, you can say that about any war, any conflict at any time. But what's the point of that? What is the argument being made there? Does it, somebody's gotta make the order, probably wasn't fair to ask a guy of his age at the time to be trying to shoot Germans. Probably wouldn't have worked out so well. So stupid fucking thing to say, but this is what you would expect from these people. And again, this person talks about how how these black and brown people were enslaved. I like to notice, by the way, how a lot of these people, especially these Black Lives Matter types, tend to talk about black and brown people when it suits them, but when they don't need that narrative, they talk about black people and brown people and go screw themselves. So it's interesting the fact that they bring brown people back into this again. But I digress. I digress. So they say this guy relieved backlash on Twitter. What a surprise. It came Churchill believed in the superiority of the Aryan race, was not a force for good in the world. Here's the thing, right? So here's the thing. So I believe I've frozen. We were. This is the thing that people don't understand about the British Empire versus, say, the American Empire, right? And that is that the British used to look at other tribes and other groups of people, and we did have a bit of superiority complex, as in thinking we were the best country in the world. Some would call that patriotic. And so that would lead us to have a bit of snobbiness, and it was noticed by all the nations around the world. So we were classed as a bit snobby, but it wasn't considered to be the same as racist. So We never actually had any hatred for a race. It was only seemingly before us, and also the American slave trade, for some reason, a real hatred built up. Maybe that hatred was because by this time, I don't know, maybe it was always there, I don't know. But there seemed to be a real hatred, and that's why it's always harder to touch this subject when you're talking about America, because some of that hatred is still there from both sides. So it's very difficult. Let me just come back out and come back in again because it's doing my head in. One second. So there we go. I think I'm back. So, I mean, I don't really feel the need to say it. I actually say a lot more. So Churchill was a guy who had the responsibility of an empire that was falling apart, that was going broke or had gone broke pretty much. He had to face disarmament by the previous government whilst declaring war. He had to face what he knew was certain to be an uphill struggle, to say the least, the moment he did that. This is a guy that knew, he's often demonized for knowing about Coventry, and that must have taken, you could say it was inhuman of him, but it must have taken balls of steel to put the war first and the people second, in order to save the people, if that makes sense. That is a decision no one would want. And that guy took it, and he took it so that somebody else wouldn't have to. And he took that decision so that people didn't end up speaking in German in this country. And this is also why people go so crazy these days when they hear so many people disrespecting the right to vote, free speech, and all these other things, because regardless of what you think of the politics of a war, the people that fought in it can't be questioned as to why they went and did it. They just can't. They went and fought and did what they did bravely, and they fought because they believed that they were stopping fascism, racism, and all of those things, which they pretty much was wrapped up in fascism at the time. They believed that they were going to stop all of that. And so when you see people outraged over things like Hitler and that being disrespected, it's not that he's beyond reproach, right? It's not that he's beyond reproach at all. He's a guy that's made plenty of mistakes. It's that it's this excuse and this way of denigrating the war efforts, and it's a way of I don't know, shitting on all of those people, and a way of shitting on the efforts made to give us the freedoms that we have today, which we most certainly wouldn't have had had things gone the other way. The guy being replaceable, let's just be glad we can't rerun that experiment and try that. Yeah, let's just be glad we can't rerun that experiment, because we so nearly lost that war. Like I say, by 1942 we were broke. If there was talk over America, I and don't get me wrong, talk only, but talk over America either having Britain or having us by a proxy to help them have their troops and that fight the war, and then at least by not having Britain, we would be useful to them in Europe. I mean, this is where the discussions got, because we were in such a bad way to fight the war. These are all things people don't like to talk about. None of this was Churchill's fault, by the way. So again, there's many things about the politics you may or may not like, but by its day, I think that it still stands up. By his day, I think that he still stands up. And I think that To try and give him angel wings is the same as any other human being. Doesn't work. But to try and say that he potentially saved this country, as long as you don't forget all of the people that went and fought and died, then absolutely you've got every right to say that. So whilst the far left and the far right are desperate to rip down his statues and to make these crazy, stupid claims, I think it's worth addressing today just to say bollocks to both of you, because there's a reason why his statues are up there, and it's not through some fake narrative that's been created. Yes, some people take things too far. Isn't that true of any group of people? But the majority of us are just grateful that someone like that was there at a time like that. I'm glad it wasn't me that had to make some of the decisions that guy had to make. Anyway, so let me just catch up with some of your comments and then I'm off of here, because I believe that Mr. Dumbass here has, without attempting to give anyone a history lesson, has really said all that needs to be said. And if there's anything I've missed, obviously you tell me or make a video or whatever else. But so let me just try and catch up. Hello, everybody, by the way. Thanks for coming and joining me. It's good to see you all. Hope you're all good in this lockdown time. I know it's not easy. Just to let you know, last couple of days I have been filming. I've decided to, I got the head camera or ear camera, whatever you want to call it, working. So I decided not to go live, which is a shame in one way because a little bit of drama happened, but some of that got caught on camera. But I felt it was better for the projects I'm trying to do at the moment to try and edit something together for you, which is on the board at the moment, about halfway through. So I just let you know, I have been working on stuff, guys. I'm not just sat here, with my thumb up my ass, basically. Hey, Busker. Hey, Vindicator. Hey, Babs. Hey, everybody. Hey, Jupiter. Good to see you all. If there's anybody I miss, I do apologize. I always miss someone. I'm only taking about a third of the chat if I'm lucky. Eric, Jeremy, because I'm rushing with time. Jason, good to see you. Again, if I miss anybody, I do apologize. The reason I look like Max Headroom is for some reason the green screen lighting's gone wrong. Interesting, eh? The green screen right lighting's gone wrong, and so it's, I think it's seeing green on my face somewhere in the lighting. So it's trying to remove it from my face, which is making me look like the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi, or of the ghost of Yoda. So yeah, that's what's going on there. It's a blue screen thing or green screen thing. Tom, look in your WhatsApp. Will do. I've been taking a break after this. You can tell my voice is cracking up. I've been just struggling to get to sleep, which, don't get me wrong, I ain't gonna bitch and whine about. It's making me feel quite relaxed. You can't really feel too stressed when you're tired. But the sleep thing's still a bit of a struggle. So voice is going. Plus, I've been doing a lot of talking today. I will, but I do need to take a break because it's been talking, editing, working, talking. I do need to take a break. But just wanted to cover this first because I just felt this was actually quite easy to cover because it's just so dumb. But it's worth calling out as that, though. It's worth calling out this for exactly what it is. Do you know what I mean? So, and the question with Stalin, George Orwell brought this up. The jumping in bed with Stalin is always going to be morally something that we are going to have to grapple with. Those of us with a conscience, is always saying that we're going to morally have to grapple with. Russia lost 25 million people, and we've also been making them suffer ever since. So, I don't know. It's a lot more complicated than people would like to have it. And that's all I really need to say about that for the time being. But yeah, so when people say about Europe, The mistake people mistake make is they say Europe is Nazi Germany by other means. And that's a mistake to say that. What they should say is Europe is a continuation of the German Empire by other means, because that's far more accurate and far more probably true. Anyway, so is there anything I've missed? Is there anything? There's a shout out I need to give to someone at some point. I need to go check it out though. I want to make sure I get it right. Obviously, shout outs to the usual people. I always forget someone, so I'm worried about doing it, but I'll say, Vindicator to Busker to Danny Roscoe, Umbrella Grape Solutions as always. And the channels that when I get off of here, they'll say, "You bastard, you how come you forgot me? You always forget me," and I'll get all this shit in the world for it. But basically, big up to all those people fighting the fight and doing what you do. Love you all. And even if you're just making a video, if you're getting up and you're criticizing, it's something more than these people that are always in the state of criticizing and never in the state of doing. And I'm sure many of you have seen more and more of them. And lockdown, I think, will show us that. So thank you, Jupiter. Sorry, I really am, for some reason, maybe it's tired, is not taking these comments in. Even normally I take about a third, and I'm probably taking about a six in. So I do apologize if there's anything I'm missing here. Please forgive me. Although I don't watch myself back, sometimes I do go try to look through the comments. So if there's anything I miss, I will try and what's the word? Catch up. And I always try and read all the comments, because you're kind enough to write them. I'm more than happy to read them. May not respond to everybody. Same as the emails. Or, I mean, Babs is helping with the emails anyway. But even if she wasn't, I always read the emails. Even if I don't reply, and you'd be amazed at the amount of things that you want to do, and they're on the shelf for you to do in terms of projects. But yeah, it's so difficult to getting around to either pressing go. Or you get to a certain stage, you've got to stop for something. It's very frustrating. So you end up with all these half-finished things, which some of them will end up being finished, some of them won't. But I feel a bit like that man at the moment, So, but like I say, we have been busy. We have been getting some stuff together to go with a video that I've already half made. So that should fit into that or pre that video template nicely. And I've tried to make the intro and that shorter. I don't know if it's working out though. Don't know what you think, but I played the wrong one. So I'm going to kind of, instead of playing an outro when I leave, I'm going to play the intro I intended to make, intended to be sort of using. And you guys can tell me if it's the right one in the comments after. So, right, I think I've caught up with you now. So that is true. That is true in that respect. Yeah. The one thing I will say though is so many people now who were Remainers who are finally turning on Europe after seeing the way they've been behaving. So anyway, I am going to play the what would normally be an intro to you, and say thanks for joining me. If there's anything I've forgotten to say today, if there's anything you feel like I've missed or I've got wrong, then please let me know in the comments or write to me at this is your, you see at the bottom of the screen, this is your news at gmail.com. And Bolton's over there on Twitter, running Twitter for us at Share the Risk. Just let us know what you think. Tom Fury, Zero News, and I am calling it a day for now.
Welcome to the desert of Peru.